Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Tonight, we have a very special broadcast for you. Tonight, the 16th of September, 2011, Friday. And it will continue on through the next week or so in a topical series and updates on some current events, some ground-shaking events going on in the United States. But first, I want you to listen to a audio clip that many people, most in fact, in America, have forgotten all about it.
When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles, and organizing its powers in such form, as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light or transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government, and to provide new gods for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation to his assent shall be obtained, and when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records, for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states, for that purpose obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenor of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation, for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments, for suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and of consanguinity. We must, therefore, acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, most people have forgotten that short passage of writing from generations ago that declared our independence from a king, a despot, a monarchy, a theocracy, a dictator that would not allow freedom and prosperity to prevail amongst the colonies, the states, the people, the inhabitants. And ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves in that same situation today. It is not uncommon to have normal, constitutionally guaranteed, God-given rights that are supposed to be protected by the government. And the only reason it was ever instituted was to ensure protection of those rights. You see these very items abrogated on a daily, hourly, every minute basis across the land. Now, one of the biggest attacks upon our freedom has been the erosion and attack upon state sovereignty and the supreme authority of the counties, the state, and the sheriff. And when I say state, I'm saying if you happen to live, domicile, and have it, depending on your schooling and whose legal dogma you listen to, within, let's say, New Mexico, Arizona, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, wherever. You see, this supreme authority was set up from the very beginning of this country, precedes the founding of this country proper, in the form of the Articles of Confederation, acts of the delegations prior to the Constitution being formally adopted, and the Constitution and carried on, some going back as far as 1600s common law, if you're talking about properties. Now, we have detailed in great depth here at the Hour of the Time, more so than anybody else, the authentic origins and inherent rights that surround that broad field that people often refer to and don't realize what they're even talking about, property rights. Property rights is at the very basis of almost every other right, ladies and gentlemen. You see, property, as we've said over and over again, is not relegated to just real estate. There are legal differences and have been for hundreds of years. Now, we have been on several, as a guest, several different networks and talk show hosts that always start out as experts in this field, and I spend most of the interview trying to educate them on basic law dictionary definitions of the words they're throwing about. And across this country, there are all ranges of peoples and positions and networks and so-called talk show hosts and so-called patriot leaders who have done good for themselves, monetarily speaking, flapping their gums about issues they don't even understand. And when the rubber meets the road, when it's time to the proverbial shit or get off the pot, they're never around. They're never around in the long work sessions and the law libraries for days on end and meetings and hearings, educating public officials, if that's what you want to call them. And now, the very same thing is expected of hundreds and hundreds of people who are behind the most phenomenal drive for freedom this country has seen in decades. You see, ladies and gentlemen, in our outlining, all of you, because of purposeful rebroadcasting multiple times by us for free on the stream, 24 hours a day, repeated over and over over the weekends, we have outlined all these aspects. We have held conferences all over the country. And although the information is always being compiled and added and building, for instance, items and, in fact, numerous items from PhDs and constitutional doctorates and jurisprudence, the Hour of the Time staff and the Alliance staff will be teaching in the October conferences. Items there, for instance, that couldn't be taught in the conferences in New York, Pennsylvania, and Michigan in the spring and early summer, because we're always gathering more research, doing more work. And we're coming to a culmination of this work in assertion of actions. We have always said on the Hour of the Time, that drivel that we constantly hear on chat boards and emails that I need information, I need more information. I have all the information. I don't have any information. We've heard all ranges, ladies and gentlemen. And most of it's absolute bullshit if you're not going to put the information to use. And as times have gone on and we've put more and more information to use, we see more and more people fall to the wayside. Absolute cowards, traitors of their fellow men. They choose to not be involved. They choose to lay back and let someone else do the work. They choose to create sometimes moronic, sometimes intricate excuses to satisfy their own psychology to justify their inaction. But, ladies and gentlemen, thousands and tens of thousands of us have not. We have proceeded forward, and you're going to see the culmination of many of these works tomorrow out west here to spread across the country. Now, there's no way in this evening's broadcast to give you every tidbit, to give you the literally thousands of court cases we have given you over the broadcast and in free research offers on the air in transcript form, court case outlines, etc., on all the background information. But what I can reference are many important series that educated people at all walks of life. The documentation and audio series that led people to realize there isn't just something wrong in this country nowadays. There isn't just some more information need. I have an obligation, a civic virtue, a civic duty, a moral duty to my fellow citizen, whatever your dogma dictates, you call it, to protect those around me who seek freedom, to protect that property right around me, the basis for almost every other right this country has ever enjoyed. So many of these key series I will list right now just once tonight, so that once again you have the opportunity to pay attention to the broadcast schedule and listen, or listen again if need be. Take more thorough notes next time. But the key thing is, take some action, ladies and gentlemen. Look at the series as Second Amendment is an individual right. The Second Amendment is an individual right. The allodial title and land patent series. And I think you had history of property rights. History of property rights. The limits of federal jurisdiction. The limits of federal jurisdiction. The Minuteman special broadcast. The psychological operations series. The state sovereignty series. The statehood series. That's state sovereignty and statehood, two separate topical series. The tactics series and the treason series, ladies and gentlemen. We have given these outlines over and over again, and there's no excuse for anybody to not know the information. And there's especially no excuse for anybody to not be taking action. We are at a critical point in this country, ladies and gentlemen, plain and simple. And it's time that each and every one of you take a proactive stance. Now, having been in last-minute hearings and meetings for hours on end, my voice is wavering, very much so. So I have some coffee here, which, yes, it will not help much, but that's what I felt like drinking. And I'm going to take a fair amount of musical breaks, but we're going to detail after this next break many of the events that are going to occur this weekend that you won't see and haven't heard of on the national news, even though they will send ripples around the world. We'll be right back. ladies and gentlemen. Your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Now you see, ladies and gentlemen, through holding conferences, training seminars, I mean all the time, at least 2 a month, and inviting in and having in elected representatives at state and federal and county levels and city levels, municipalities, townships, whatever you want to call them, depending on where you live, commissioners, and sheriffs, of course, into training regimens. We have educated thousands of people on the real tenets of freedom, statehood, and state sovereignty. In December, Hour of the Time and the Alliance made a major push in training seminars, and we brought in, for 2 consecutive 3-day weekends, we made them 3 days. No, they weren't 3 days on the calendar. We just started on Friday. People from all over to make that next big leap, that next big push in education and proactive solutions. Under one roof, in one room, in one single day, garnering 12 different county sheriffs, multiples of state senators and congressmen or representatives, however you term them yourself, federal, as in U.S., congressmen, staff of U.S. senators, with follow-up face-to-face to show them exactly what the research has proven concerning the full rights of the sheriff, the county, and the states versus the federal usurpation of all our rights, the federal abrogation of the restraints put upon them by the Constitution of the United States, or exceeding any outlines or boundaries from the Constitution, most namely Article 1, Section 8, and Article 4, Section 4. And as these people became more and more educated, they took it upon themselves to say, now what do we do? How do we fix this situation? Sheriffs then briefed deputies, chief deputies, under-sheriffs, down to the newest hired deputy, maybe right out of a college or an academy or high school. Elected representatives began speaking during meetings and hearings to the general public in the audience, which is pitifully poorly attended in most areas, except for where we educate more and more. State and federal elected representatives speaking more and more to their staff and counterparts in elected office about these issues, all along with the support and dedication of the Hour of the Time and the Alliance to be a constant source of face-to-face, traveling where need be, which is a constant endeavor, attending meetings, hearings, and speaking on the agendas to better educate people on these prospects and aspects and their real rights. And it is culminating in one of the first major events tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. In New Mexico, you see, much like many of the western states of the United States, there is still a great spirit of freedom and independence and sovereignty emboldened in the people. And the Alliance covers multiple counties and multiple states. And in a particular county, we were able to more so and more hastily work to proceed to this step, with many other counties filed and falling right behind them. And the order isn't so much the matter, it's the principle and actions that are what matters. And it's taking place like an avalanche. You see, ladies and gentlemen, as we have proven categorically in the statehood and state sovereignty, history of property rights, lack of federal jurisdiction, on and on and on series, is that the supreme seat of power is with the people of the counties and states. Now, the county that is the first one, tomorrow, in fact, in New Mexico to lead the way, simply, I think, a lot of it was just simply pure logistics, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't a matter of having some extra special set of rights or laws helping them. Pure logistics and being able to dedicate more staff and more time. We are tomorrow, in a historic event, taking back to full state and county authority a realignment, if you will, of so-called public lands, 80,000 acres from federal agencies, asserting proper state and county control over them, and proceed to work these lands to the benefit, the prosperity, the posterity of the people that live there, for their pursuit of happiness, wealth, their property rights, their sovereignty. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I have to do this broadcast again, pitifully, because many people refuse to listen. They may hear, but they refuse to listen. So here I am once again, and knowing that if things go wrong tomorrow, or things go perfectly tomorrow, if the federally government-controlled news media whatsoever covers the events that are ground-setting and setting precedents, if you will, for this whole country, they will put a spin to it, and they will make us all look like monsters, rebel secessionists, racist, criminals, felons, lunatics, kooks. So tonight you get your first taste of the realities of what's going on. You see, first off, the county, seeing in its proper role to protect the sovereignty and freedom and property rights of its county inhabitants, declared a state of emergency due to inactions or aggressive actions or abrogation of constitutional restraints by multiples and various federal agencies. They held the public hearings that are required. Then consulted the state, the governor's office, the attorney general's office, hired experts, scientists in social economics or economic impact studies. Everything that would be desired of a properly thought out legal challenge, scientific case, or action. The Alliance providing the bulk of all the core work. Everything we've given you right on the broadcast as well, ladies and gentlemen, that you could have done right in your own backyards. Like we did. And like we're spreading all over. You see, after those works were done, then the letters and notifications were sent to the various agencies. Who needed to know, what needed to know, who, etc. And upon seeing no challenge that stood in law, the next step was to inform the state and the state attorney general's office and governor's office and federal agencies the next set of actions. And that next set of actions was to ensure and fulfill their oaths to the Constitution as county and state officials. They had an obligation to take action. Now, at that point, of course, a few agencies took different routes. FBI showed up, trying to intimidate and harass multiple peoples amongst the alliance, threatening the sheriff. You'll lose all your federal crime funding. The sheriff and counties told him to pack sand. Take the funding, and they did. And guess what? They're doing just fine without it. Then, federal agencies coming in trying to order state, county, entities, and sheriff to sign memorandums of understanding, MOUs as they're commonly referred to. And you see again, it's a way to get you to sign away your rights and turn them into license privileges under a guise of a memorandum of understanding. And, of course, refusals across the board. And our sheriff, along with multiple sheriffs across the West, and I don't mean retired book pimpers, I mean sheriffs, have repeatedly refused now requests for cross-certification from various agencies of their federal so-called law enforcement officers, another right inherent in the sheriff. And codified in states, for instance, in Arizona, 13-3875 ARS, ladies and gentlemen. And then the heat was put on in the next round with more threats and intimidation. Now we are being threatened with bus loads. It increased from one bus, a bus as it was put, to bus loads of federal marshals and officers tomorrow. And as it was put to us, armed and in black uniforms and masks to suppress our activities. No one buckled, ladies and gentlemen. We're still continuing on tomorrow. And in fact, we have 10 U.S. congressmen, and only 10 because of scheduling, quite honestly. Because so far, the alliance has been able to build up and educate. And it may sound like a small number, but it's more than anybody else has ever done. At this point only, since December, not even a year, 45 congressmen across this country, and are in full-time briefings with multiple U.S. senator staffs now. Ten of them will be there on site as well with all their guards and cronies and Secret Service. 15 different county sheriffs, multiple counties of commissioners and supervisors, and hundreds of people from around the country coming in to help with this great endeavor to establish the first proper takings back to state and county control of current, not federally owned, as we clearly defined in all our broadcast series, but currently federally controlled lands where they have went outside their mandates and limits, or have not fulfilled any agreements between states upon admission under statehood to full state status, from territorial status, whether you're an appropriation or allocation doctrine state. And, ladies and gentlemen, we're proceeding on no matter what the threats, because it has to be done. Now, hopefully, one of these petty bureaucrats in black with ski masks does not get ignorant. But if they do, so be it. Of course, everybody wants a full, peaceful outcome. But looking at history, one never knows what will happen. And ladies and gentlemen, even just 2 days ago, one more round of threats came around. The U.S. Attorney's Office showed up, this time threatening with restraining orders against all the key alliance members, all of us 4S passenger people on airlines. And threatened us with restraining orders from anywhere within the area. Well, guess what? You can't restrain us from property you don't have exclusive jurisdiction over. So, lose number one. Second, and I guess maybe more importantly, I don't know. Since we're following the law, and they were not, when the U.S. attorneys came in, they couldn't even file injunctions or restraining orders against any of us 2 days ago because they can't go into a court of equity for relief. You see, injunctive relief is an equitable remedy, and you cannot go into a court of equity seeking relief with unclean hands. They could not even file because they're wrong from the start. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you some more details right after this musical break. But you see the ramifications of what we're doing. You can see it. You can feel it. If you've done the research, if you've chosen to be part of, and I'm proud of so many people like JRV, coming clear from Ohio to help, people from all regions of the U.S., jumping on buses, doing whatever they have to be part of the solution, not just babbling on ignorantly in chat rooms, stupid emails, and on so-called Patriot broadcasts out there. This is real action, ladies and gentlemen, and it's the only thing that will bring a solution and bring out all the issues and problems to the surface for everyone to see. And God only hope, and we have to hope, in fact, that God or whoever you pray to or don't pray to or meditate to, depending on your personal beliefs, but all we can hope for is that, at least in my case and most people I'm working with's case, is that God will see us fit to succeed and to not have an outright mess on our hands tomorrow. But this recording is oh so important this evening, ladies and gentlemen, in this broadcast, because you need to know, with references to all those series and our activities and how we got here and the names and places involved, the truth when the spin is put on it nationally. We will be demonized. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I have to apologize for the musical selections that I did not indicate where they came from. That was Kate North by Shane and Paul. Thank you, Shane and Paul, for your efforts. Wonderful. And again, thanks and wonderful work. Previous to that was the Fall of Babylon remix by AKA Fresh, Angelo, and his group. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in the midst of all this, people will often ask, well, how do you know that your jurisdictional or state sovereignty or state rights or county rights or sheriff's authority passes muster? And we've said many times on the air, but I'll do it again, ladies and gentlemen. You see, if you clearly look at their own manuals, what are these out of their constraints, rogue agents and agencies ignoring? That's clearly written in their own manuals. If you take the U.S. Attorney's Manual, Title 9, for instance, Section 665, guess what? It's a very small section, all of two paragraphs, and one of those is a practice tip. They have to call it a practice tip, like they're talking to a fourth grade baseball team, to even hand carry them through the process. If it weren't for that, the whole section would be 2.5 lines long. But in that section, it clearly states, when instances are reported to the U.S. Attorney of offenses committed on land or in buildings occupied by agencies of the federal government, the United States has jurisdiction only if the land or building is within the special territorial jurisdiction of the United States. And how do you determine that, ladies and gentlemen? Well, as we've said many times on the broadcast and what they get under their practice tip, a convenient method of determining the jurisdictional status is to contact an appropriate attorney with the agency having custody of the land. Now, as an aside, ladies and gentlemen, as you saw, the U.S. attorneys with unclean hands in the eyes of the law could not even file injunctions or restraint orders against the alliance members 2 days ago. That's why they need these practice tips. And if the land, to continue, if the land is other than a military base, the Regional Council's Office of the General Services Administration, GSA, and I've covered that in depth, both those entities, has a roster of the federal lands and buildings that can give a definitive answer to jurisdiction. Each United States attorney would be well advised to request from each agency within a district a report on the jurisdictional status claim for each of its facilities and assurances that documentation is available. Ladies and gentlemen, we've done it. Multiple counties, multiple states, all across the country. I've encouraged many, many, many of you, thousands of you in conferences and on the broadcast to do the same. So then you have your list, and there's your verification, ladies and gentlemen. You have levels 1 through 4 from exclusive jurisdiction, ladies and gentlemen. Level 1, as in would typically apply to, let's say, a fully seated from the state legislature to the federal government through an act of Congress assembled. Declaration of, let's say, a Fort Dock arsenal. That's exclusive legislative jurisdiction. That's a level 1. Most properties, though, are the lowest or level 4. Now, there is a level 5, which is just unknown. Nobody's bothered squabbling over yet. And it was no paperwork or sessions or adaptations or fiduciary responsibilities were ever even brought up. So it's just unknown. So typically it's just county land that no one just fenced off and put a big sign up. But you see the levels, level 1, exclusive legislative jurisdiction is the only one where the agencies properly have full jurisdiction. Then you go down to concurrent legislative jurisdiction, then level 3, partial legislative jurisdiction, And then four, the most common, proprietorial interest only. Where the federal government, per their own statutes, as clearly defined, has acquired some right or title to an area, but has not obtained any measure of the state's authority over the area. Plain and simple, ladies and gentlemen. And the problem is that with the bulk of the lands encompassed under Title IV or Category IV jurisdiction, under that guise of we're the federal government, we're here to help, people have abrogated all rights and duties to freedom and prosperity and their posterity. You see, ladies and gentlemen, to give you an example, the U.S. Department of Agriculture under them has, for instance, the United States Forest Service. The Department of the Interior has the BLM. To give you just an example, because of where we're going to be this weekend, New Mexico, the United States Department of Agriculture, under the state of New Mexico or within its territorial boundaries, possesses some form of title or interest in over 9 million acres. And when you go to the jurisdictional status listings from the GSA, as referenced to be used by the U.S. attorneys and all federal agencies, and look at the categorical classifications of jurisdiction, over 9 million acres, ladies and gentlemen, in New Mexico, under the hands with some form of interest, the USDA Forest Service, of that, only 9 acres is exclusive legislative jurisdiction. 9 acres out of 9 million, ladies and gentlemen. 9. And when you look up their buildings and the amount of acreage under it, the number of buildings they have is the result, and what land is around it for parking, easement, sewer systems, whatever, is the 9 acres. The rest is simply proprietorial interest only, the state having given up no legislative authority whatsoever to the agency. So 9 million acres where they don't have jurisdiction, that's just one agency under one department. Imagine multiplying that out and applying it to the entire counties and states in this union. See, they're real good at putting up signs and running around with uniforms and painted trucks with emblems on the doors and asserting that authority, but they only have it, and they're illegally asserting it, because, by the way, under law, it's called fraud and extortion, as defined by Black's Law Dictionary, and, in fact, under their own codes, they are, in fact, guilty in most cases of impersonating a federal officer. Think about that one, ladies and gentlemen, in the events this weekend. So, when they run around and do that, people give up their freedoms and rights because of their ignorance. But in most cases, actually, it's not because of their ignorance. The information has been given out for years and years, hands-on, face-to-face, or on broadcast by the hour of the time, and thousands of others throughout this great country. It is typically because of sheer cowardice. Much like when I sent out the news list memos of the events to be coming up, so many people who just want to subscribe and read some news tidbits or articles prove themselves to be absolute cowards or couldn't even answer or gave me some blathery statement of, oh, I don't understand, can you give me some details? The details have all been given. You choose to not understand or be involved. But those who chose to stand up from around the country and help and come around tomorrow and the next day will forever be next to my heart, ladies and gentlemen, because they are true compatriots and allies. Now let's think back. People have noticed these inclinations amongst people for decades. And let's go decades and decades ago and listen to a famous poet most have forgotten about, unfortunately, probably because he was all but erased from the books, even though a great one he was.
The Unknown Citizen by W. H. Auden. To JS/07M378, this marble monument is erected by the state. He was found by the Bureau of Statistics to be one against whom there was no official complaint, and all the reports on his conduct agree that, in the modern sense of an old-fashioned word, he was a saint, for in everything he did he served the greater community. Except for the war till the day he retired, he worked in a factory and never got fired, but satisfied his employers, Fudge Motors, Inc. Yet he wasn't a scab or odd in his views, for his union reports that he paid his dues. Our report on his union shows it was sound, and our social psychology workers found that he was popular with his mates and liked to drink. The press are convinced that he bought a paper every day, and that his reactions to advertisements were normal in every way. Policies taken out in his name prove that he was fully insured, and his health card shows that he was once in hospital, but left it cured. Both producers' research and high-grade living declare he was fully sensible to the advantages of the installment plan, and had everything necessary to the modern man, a phonograph, a radio, a car, and a Frigidaire. Our researchers into public opinion are content that he held the proper opinions for the time of year. When there was peace, he was for peace. When there was war, he went. He was married and added 5 children to the population, which our eugenists says was the right number for a parent of his generation, and our teachers report that he never interfered with their education. Was he free? Was he happy? The question is absurd. Had anything been wrong, we should certainly have heard.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, poets, authors, researchers from even decades ago saw the problem. It is a societal problem. And I would have to say that most of it is a result of sheer cowardice, unfortunately. Because there's hardly any way to educate yourself out of that. But it does happen, and that's why we continue on. And that's why, as usual, the conferences, and this October's conference is going to be stunning with many of these very PhDs and jurisprudence doctors, judges, elected officials coming to the conference to instruct, to sit in, to meet people so that you can see all the details of the research and where all this is going. Because we have no choice to go this route, ladies and gentlemen. That is where we're at in this country. It's either fix it now, the last vestiges of freedom we have, and restore the constitutional republic, or completely decimate ourselves into a third world, backwards, sewer running down the streets and everything country. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning in this night, and I want to thank all those who've shown their great support for these endeavors tomorrow. It is really appreciated, ladies and gentlemen.